welcome to the debut episode of Tri-State Heat here on the One Podcast Network. My name is Kyle Thomas. Joining me in a few minutes will be Jason Cordner from Brooklyn, New York, the original Brooklyn Brawler, Jason Cordner. And this show is going to be kind of a different – there's a lot of wrestling podcasts out there on the market. We're a little different. We're fans, right? We're just fans. We don't have experts. We don't have Dave Meltzer or the other guys on speed dial. It's just myself. It is Jason. And it's you. This is a call-in show. Call in with your opinions. Let us know what you think. Tonight is AEW Dynamite. The first hour is over. MJF gave a, I don't know what the hell to call that promo tonight, but he gave the promo of life. As I welcome in Jason Cordner. Jay, it's the first Tri-State Heat. What's up, brother?
Not only is it the first Tri-State Heat, but MJF might have outdone CM Punk's infamous pipe bomb. I'm going to call that the nuclear one, because
that is the nuclear bomb.
There was a lot of truth in that.
Well, it's funny because, and we're going to get to him later, but I think we have to talk about him now because of the promo. And everything he said, I think a friend of mine texted me, like, was that work or shoot? And I'm like, a little bit of both.
I think they gave him the same thing, because with Punk, that's why Punk's pipe bomb will always go down in infamy, because Vince gave him the green light to air his grievances. So I kind of feel like Tony did the same thing, but only MGF is younger and he's going to really like give no shit and let it all hang out. So I definitely think it's definitely a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think the big thing I caught was fire me. I'm like, okay, I want to be fired. Fire me. Like this from the Ric Flair promo with Bischoff.
That was the biggest thing you caught.
So I was like, and he started cursing, which I'm like, is he really cursing, or are they just kind of cutting out the audio for effect? There's so many questions with this promo, and I'm like, I'm pissed because I'm recording it now. I went back to my DVR to watch it.
You didn't catch the whole thing.
I caught the whole thing after the fact. Whenever I texted me, like, did you see it? I'm like, no, I didn't see it. What the hell happened? So, and I saw it, and now all hell's going to break loose. For those of you new, obviously all of you new to the show because we just started the show tonight, 646-668-2384 is the number to call in. Give us your opinion on the MJF promo, your opinion from Double or Nothing, which we're going to talk about next, the upcoming PLE Premium Live event, Hell in a Cell, this Sunday for WWE. Give us your opinions. Let us know what you think. 646-668-2384. So, we started this show because we have a basketball show called The Box Out. Thursday nights, 8 p.m., YouTube, just Hoop Talk YouTube channel. And we always use the last, like, 3-4 minutes to talk wrestling. And I think we both realized, probably you first, that wasn't enough time for us to talk wrestling. I thought we always went overtime.
Nope.
Talking wrestling. So this show is just really for us to talk wrestling for 1 hour a week.
Definitely air everything out. Talk about all the mostly promotions, because we're not just talking about AEW. We're just not talking about WWE. We talk about everything, a little bit of everything.
Especially
with Forbidden Door coming up, which I think is a great pay per view, by the way.
We had Tanahashi come tonight in the first hour. Hopefully, you watch AEW and have them on like mute, and you listen to us while you watch AEW. That's the dream scenario for us. So go back to AEW Double or Nothing from Sunday night. The 18-hour extravaganza that was AEW Double or Nothing.
It sure was long as hell.
Well, when Tony Khan said, I'm programming against Game 7 Boston-Miami, I was like, oh, shit. Because you knew, he said, I got 14 matches, and Punk and Hangman is not going on until Game 7's over. And even when the game was over, they were in the middle of the Anarchy in the Arena match. I'm like, this is going to be a 12:35 pay-per-view. But what were your thoughts on him?
I forgot about that. That made sense. That makes more sense now, thinking about it. He's smart.
Yeah.
That was a smart move.
Which, I mean, at the end of the day, are you going to get more pay-per-view buys after Game 7 ended at 11:30? No.
Right.
So I feel like that was kind of a waste of time for him. And a waste of my time, because that was a long-ass night. I'm not going to lie to you.
Game seven. Don't forget game seven ended kind of late and kind of was close towards the end. So that was really smart planning by Tony. I got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, he was working. Listen, he's an analytic guy. He knew he was mapping out the times in his head and said, "I got this. I got this." So he knew what he was doing, kind of maybe. What were your thoughts on AEW as a whole?
Like I told you before the show, it was my first time ordering an AEW pay-per-view, so I was all new to this, going to the Bleacher app and watching it and putting it on the computer. So I thought it was a good pay-per-view. The pacing could have been better, but now knowing what he was going up against, it kind of made sense. And my thing is, would it have been better off on a Saturday than on a Sunday? And in that case, you've trimmed down some of the matches.
Well, that was my thing. I miss their Saturday pay-per-views a lot. I really do. I just felt like Saturdays just felt like a good pay-per-view night. Sundays was just kind of ingrained in us growing up, like Sunday's pay-per-view night. Saturday became like, okay, we got to watch it. I do think it was this, even knowing what his strategy was with the scheduling, it was way too long. Those matches, like the Darby Allin Kyle O'Reilly match, should not have been there. The Scorpio Sky, Paige Van Zandt, Sammy Guevara, that shouldn't have been there. I thought there's a lot of matches that if you took those matches out, you still would have hit game seven. You still would have – I think you would have been probably at the end of Anarchy in the Arena right when game seven ended if it timed out right, just in hindsight. But
in hindsight,
watching,
I get it.
Watching those two matches, I'm like, what the hell am I watching? Why do I care about either one of these matches right now?
I totally agree. I thought even though it was weird because I thought Adam Cole and Samoa Joe would have been a little bit longer match, but even that kind of fizzled out real quick. And then when Britt Baker came out, that match was pretty good. Could have given him a little bit more time, but even they had more time than Adam Cole, Samoa Joe. So some of the matches I would definitely scale back on time, and others, like you said, they could have scrapped altogether.
So I want to start with the Owen Hart tournament. Adam Cole, Britt Baker, your men and women tournament winners. Once Adam Cole won, I didn't think they would go to Britt Baker route. I was like, no, they can't. Like, they can't do no. And they did. So I was shocked about that. I want that belt. I want to know, can they sell that belt?
It's a hot belt. And, well, I don't know if you want to know because, you know, Adam Cole's on right now. But it looks like the belt's going to be around for a while. It's a hot belt.
Well, I mean, I know they said this. It's not going to be, like, competed for. It's like, you win it, it's your belt. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's not going to be, like, a prop, like every other belt in professional wrestling. I was shocked they did that. I was also shocked at Anarchy in the Arena, which the craziest match in AEW. Can you give them that standing right now? Because that was crazy.
That was insane. That was insane. But it looked good. It looked like something. It looked like what War Games should be. You know, like if you could do it outside War Games, that's what it looked like.
So my only issue with that match, what's the ending? I didn't like how it ended. I know Kingston and Bryan, they had their Bryan Danielson. They had their issues. I know they kind of using that to kind of generate a feud after the fact. But you almost wanted Kingston's team to win. And I think Jericho's team winning just kind of extends it a little bit, and now you put Kingston and Danielson in the feud. So I don't know where this goes now, where you have Kingston and Danielson probably going to argue, might have a match together, but then you don't know what Jericho Appreciation Society is going to do. I feel like they needed a win, and then I guess they win, all hell breaks loose, and Danielson and Kingston fight. I just feel like the Jericho team winning creates like this weird, what do you do now?
Yeah, I agree. But I guess they want to keep the whole sports entertainers thing going a little bit longer, which is very clever, very hilarious. So I can see the argument made for both sides. But, you know, Jericho's a legend, man. I feel like
letting him go over the first round is always best for business, as we've seen AEW. You know, that's what AEW started off with Jericho as the first champ. So I think they can trust the vision of what Jericho got going on here. And since it was a five-man, it really doesn't hurt anybody, because especially with Kingston not taking the pin, so it doesn't really hurt him anymore. So you can really extend it a little bit. So I'm curious to see where this goes, but I don't think it's over by yet. Any means, it's over yet.
No, I mean, you would have to have another Kingston Jericho match. You could probably, and tell me if I'm wrong, could you get two more matches out of them too? Because Kingston beat Jericho one match. Could you do a trilogy, or is it like they got to have one more and kind of keep it pushing?
I think they got to go one more and keep it pushing, because I don't expect Eddie to get any wins over Jericho. But like you said, he has beef with Danielson, so that could be where we're going at next. Be like, hey, I didn't tap out. I didn't pass out. You know, I was ready to fight. I'm still ready to fight. So you could definitely spawn this into different scenarios. But at some point, we need to free LAX. We need to be in the tag team title hunt. It's long overdue. So let's see what happens.
646-668-2384. If you want to call in, give us your opinions on the long AEW Double or Nothing show or the Dynamite show that's on right now, as we're on air right now. 646-668-2384 is the number to call in. I looked on Twitter. As soon as CM Punk won the belt, I went to Twitter because I'm an idiot. A lot of hate. Don't know why. Did the match just seem anticlimactic between Punk and Paige, because you kind of knew what the outcome was going to be? Or was there still this doubt, like, Paige could pull this out?
I thought, you know, I think I texted you initially. I thought CM Punk would have won, turn heel, but I guess they're not going that right yet. I thought Paige was a good fighting champion. You know, that the match he had with Daniel Bryan was a classic. I thought they could have rolled this out a little bit, wait till after the Forbidden Door to give Punk the title. But, you know, it goes back to an MJF promo. You know, it's like now Punk's the savior from the company where, you know, the homies built. And at some point, I personally would have kept it on Hangman. And if anyone's going to beat him, I thought it would have been Kenny Omega coming back. That would have made more sense to me. But they want to go with Punk, who, you know, I think it'll be a great champion, but he doesn't work as a face. As a champion, you know what I mean? Like, he has to be heel. He has to be the guy, you know, stirring the pot. And I don't think that's where he's at right now.
Yeah, they did the Bret Hart Piper, which it's weird how Punk kind of like pulls from all these Hart matches. I didn't know what was happening. And someone's getting Twitter said, oh, this is Piper Hart from WrestleMania. And I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't know that. Where like Piper picks up the belt and he looks at it and throws it down. I'm going to use it.
That's right. I forgot about that match, yeah.
And Paige did the same thing. So Piper lost to Hart. You know, Paige lost to Punk. So same thing. So I think with Paige, I don't know where this goes. Would you turn Paige heel? Because I feel like they don't do repeat champions yet in this company. So he's not getting that belt back. So,
well, unless it's a TNT title, but you're right.
Yeah, but even we're going to get to the TNT title a little bit later, because I have an issue with that whole situation with that title. I feel like when you lose the belt, I feel like a little bit of steam comes off of you. I feel like, say, it happened with Jericho, it happened with Moxley, obviously Omega, he went away because he was banged up. What happens to Adam Page now in the grand scheme of AEW?
I think he's – and this word sucks because the next pay-per-view is Forbidden Door. So it's not like, you know, I can't remember seeing a return match for a title in AEW's history outside of TNT title. So I don't know where he goes. I don't think he just, and also what's going on too with the worst kept secret that they're going to bring this threesome title in. So like now he's going to get lost in that shuffle. So I think, you know, it's going to be, you know, a well-deserved break for the Hangman. He was the first number one contender, you know, him and Jericho would have had their first match for the title. So I guess now, you know, he's been with the company since day one. I think he takes a backseat a little bit, especially with all these, you know, all these other promotions going on right now, and he just lost a little bit of luster right now. It's all good.
Well, I think Forbidden Door might be a good thing because he was in New Japan for a while, so I feel like that would help him a little bit because there's some familiarity with some of the guys in that roster. So you can set up a match between Paige and someone else from New Japan because he was there. So you might can go back and go a recall back when he was there. But you're right. I think he does take a back seat just for a hot minute. CM Punk champion. I was under the impression that it would go Paige, Punk, and then MJF gets the win back from the dog collar match. Do you think with everything going on now with MJF and the company, does this set up a CM Punk match where he called out got former WWF guys tonight? Does that set this up like MJF's going to be a pain in the ass to get that belt? He's going to be the ex-WWE guy now.
That's a great point. I don't know if I would I think MJF stock is at an all-time high right now in the company. So I think maybe after Forbidden Door, I can see it. MJF call out CM Punk.
Yeah, I think.
Because they got to run it back.
Yeah, I mean,
and Punk did lose the first match.
We might just talk about MJF right now. MJF. So the whole weekend of Double or Nothing, obviously in Vegas, Double or Nothing Fan Fest. MJF set to appear. Fans paid money. MJF no showed. It was a huge story all weekend. There was actually doubt about him even doing the pay-per-view match with Wardlow. There was reports that there was a flight booked for him out of Vegas back over here, back on the East Coast. He showed up Double or Nothing, did the job, did the honors, left. But the issue, I think, is when he came in at AEW, this is online, so take it with a grain of salt. This is what I've been reading, and I've seen it in a bunch of different places. He came in on like a $40,000 contract when they first started the company, along with him and like Joey Janela and just a bunch of guys just to get a roster going. He got a raise, obviously, as he's been there because he's been the shit since he started there. But I think he started seeing how much money CM Punk is coming and making, how much money Bryan Danielson's making, how much money guys like Mark Henry might be making, even though they're not even really, you know, active wrestlers. Malakai Black is probably making some money. And he's seeing all this, and he's getting upset, and he wants a new contract. Now, the AEW's like, we'll give you a new contract, but we need an extension. You got to sign an extension past 2024 when his contract's up. He says, no, I'm going to get paid now, no extension. So they're at a standstill. Since Sunday, I think they've been trying to set up a meeting with Tony Khan, and MJF. I'm not sure if they met yet. They probably did. Maybe set this up. Don't know. But who's wrong in this situation right now? I think I see both sides of the conversation. But to you, Jay, is there anyone wrong? Is anyone right? Or is it just a shitty situation all around?
I think it's a shitty situation all around. But what makes it worse is the rumblings that we hear that the WWE wants him. And that's what makes everything worse. And it's unfortunate. I think the original crew, that's the thing. He was the outsider, and he kind of addressed it today. He was the outsider out of that, you know, original roster, the you know, the Friends with Benefits Club. So I see his side of it, but at the same time, you know, a contract's a contract. If we learned anything from the Last Dance with Jordan and Pippen situation, a contract's a contract, and he's trying to renegotiate, and I think he's worth every dollar that he wants. And I think Tony wants to pay him, but at some point, you know, what does MJF really want? Does he want to use the E as a leverage? Does he want to stay in AEW? Because he is the number one heel in AEW. That no one's taking that from him. So it all depends on what he wants. And I kind of feel like he wants to extend his brand, and he does want to leave, and he does really want to get fired. But he's going to push this thing as far as he can. It's either he's going to get a raise or he's going to get fired, and he's going to get that raise somewhere else. But I think that's where we stand with MJF.
Yeah, I think he put himself in a bad spot, because if he just kept his mouth shut and just kind of kept his head down, you have a bidding war in 18 months.
A huge one.
Between both companies. Now, I feel like WWE knows there's issues. We may not have to give him as much as we would have to if he was still on good terms with AEW and still, like, not making a stink. So I feel like this might have cost him a little bit of money. Not a lot. A little bit. But I think AEW is going to pony up and be listen.
Not even that, but don't forget, which I didn't even know. I didn't know him and Cody Rhodes were really buddy-buddy. And he sees what Cody's like, the, you know,
top tier babyface on
but it's Cody.
On
it's
Raw
Cody
right now.
Though. It's Cody Rhodes. I feel like the idea that everyone's like, oh, you see what they do with Cody? Oh my God, Cody. We go, they're going to treat us like Cody. No, they're not. Not at all.
Because it would suck. It would suck, though. You know, and this is where it's going to suck. If MJF does go to WWE, is he coming in as a face or he's coming as a heel? And if
he's
does come in
as
a heel, what do you do with The Miz? Like, them two going at, they can't be buddy-buddy. And you would definitely want to see them against each other. And we saw how The Miz is as a face. He's horrible as a face. So it's a situation where he might want to stay where he's at and just get that bread up.
The worst thing for me to see is MJF, a watered-down MJF, not being able to say what he wants to say, not having that freedom. Now, obviously, he can't say too much, but he can't go on Raw and call someone's mother Metheny because they won't allow that shit. So he could probably work in that environment, but it won't be the same as when he has the freedom to, like, hey, go out there and just get some heat. Generate some heat. Don't go nuts. Watch yourself. But go get some heat. And I feel like that's what AEW tells him to do.
I agree.
As opposed to writers telling you what to say.
That's true. That's true. I don't know if that'll work. I don't know his style of work over there, like you said. And man, WWE, it wouldn't be ideal for him as much as he wants that WrestleMania spotlight.
Those two women's matches on the pay-per-view, TBS title match, which is awesome because you had – Anna Jay is not great. You see, she's a lot better than she was like 6 months ago. Jade Cargill is
getting there.
Yeah, Jade Cargill is a little rough, but there's like video of like Bryan Danielson in the ring training her, and I'm like, if Danielson and Regal, they said Regal helps her out. If she's in there with Regal and Danielson, I'm like, shit, she might be better faster than I thought. But she ended up winning.
That's because they didn't really have a developmental system over there. They kind of like rushed her in the spotlight. But now with someone like Regal and Daniel Bryan backing her up, now we're starting to cook.
And then we saw the debut of Athena, formerly Ember Moon, and of my boy Stokely Hathaway, formerly, what's his name, WWE? I can't remember his name now.
The Diamond Mine something? He was great in NXT. A horrible firing. They let him go.
Well, I remember he was in Ring of Honor for a while. That's how I kind of got to know who he was. Ring of Honor and Evolve. That's saw Evolve show in Queens once. So I'm like, oh, that's Stokely Hathaway. And they changed his name. I was like, oh, shit, they changed his name. Michael Bivins. That's his name.
Michael Bivins. There you go.
So they changed his name. I was like, oh, of course they changed his name. But he's there. Apparently he's with the baddie section. Athena's in.
Perfect alignment.
Yeah, and my only issue, yeah, because you get that, like, the Mark Sterling, he's all right, but he can't touch Stokely Hathaway on a mic. I'm sorry, there's not many people who can't touch him.
We getting Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar back in the early 2000s all over again, in this duo. That's the vibes I feel.
It's gonna be awesome. Young Bucks versus Hardys. Not much to say about that match. It was a shit show. It was awful.
Like, that didn't need to happen. I mean, I know what happened, and I think it happened in New Japan or Ring of Honor. I can't remember where it happened, but that did not need to be revisited on a pay-per-view. That could have been saved for a Dynamite.
Yeah, and Jeff just looks banged up and like he's just done, so I don't see why they even bother. House of Black versus Death Triangle. This was probably my match of the night. It was crazy. It was a lot of action, hard-hitting action. And then they finally pulled the trigger of Julia Hart. I'm very happy he finally did it. I got sick of waiting for her to lose her shit. So House of Black wins. Now they're foursome. It's great. God bless. TNT title. Where do I start? I'm hoping Scorpio Sky holds the belt for a while. I'm not a fan of Scorpio Sky. I think Ethan Page should kind of turn on him and try to get the belt. The Sammy Guevara takes Ty Conti thing.
I think that should happen. I think that should happen as well.
Yeah. The Sammy Guevara Ty Conti thing, I'm over it. We get it. You guys are together. Sammy cheated on his wife with Ty. I get it. I understand. let it go. Like, I don't understand. And I feel like they're finally starting to embrace this heel heat they got because everyone's like, you guys suck. We can't stand you.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's... But I feel like the TNT title is just worth nothing now. I feel like it started so hot with Cody and Darby and Brody Lee, and then Miro had it. And then I feel like it just took a really shitty turn when Sammy Guevara got it. And now it just feels like Ricochet holding Intercontinental title.
Oh, damn it. The most useless. Yeah, I mean, that's just a useless title right now. I think what you need to happen is somebody... Maybe Warlow need to get that belt. Like, let's build Warlow up. He's not – I won't put him up against CM Punk yet, but in the meantime, let's let him get that title and have an open challenge, and then we'll bring some prestige back to that title. Because it's funny you mention that, because I was just telling a couple of friends of mine, I think the TBS title holds more weight than the women's title right now, because we just are so fixated with what's going on over there.
Yeah, I feel like Jade is like – Jade is bad. Like, she comes on screen, you're like, oh shit, Jade Cargo's on, and you watch her, like, she's hot as hell. But you also, if you watch her, she's wrestled 33 matches.
30
from that match with Shaq,
mm-hmm.
From that first match with Shaq, and how bad it wasn't awful, but she didn't look great. And then she had red velvet matches, and you kind of start seeing it a little bit, and like, oh, she's a little better. Eh, okay, she messed up, but a little better. And to the point now, I'm like, okay, she messed up a little bit Sunday, but I'm like, that's timing. They're not on the same page. It wasn't all her. So I feel like you look at her, like, okay, I'm going to watch her when she wrestles. When Sammy Guevara had the TNT, I didn't care. Scorpio Sky got it, I was intrigued. But then Sammy was still working, and then Taya was there. And then Frankie Kazarian, who is devoid of any personality, popped in. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, come on. And then that's what I saw giving a shit
and Robert Roode. Him and Robert Roode.
Oh, my God. Well, Roode had personality. I think WWE just sucked it out after they took the glorious
game right,
from
you're him. Right. Beer Money was iconic. You're right.
Beer Money was the shit. I'm sorry. Beer Money was amazing.
You're right.
For those of you who watch TNA, like the eight of us who watch TNA on a weekly basis, when it was on. All right, so that was AEW Double or Nothing. Dynamite's on right now. We'll talk about Dynamite a little bit on our next show. We got to get predictions for Hell in a Cell. Now, what I want to do, I'm going to get some audio for this too. We're going to preview Hell in a Cell. I'm going to get your predictions, Jay. I'm going to do is have like a two-tier prediction system. All right, I'm going to give you... What do you think will happen in a match on Sunday? And then I'm going to ask you what should happen in the match on Sunday. Because what happens is we know what's going to happen, but you and I are both crazy fans. We both think, okay, that shouldn't happen. This should really happen. So obviously there'll be instances where what will happen should happen. I mean, there'll be instances where something shit's going to pop off and it's going to be terrible. So let's start with Kevin Owens versus Ezekiel. What will happen on Sunday night?
I can see it. Roll up victory for Ezekiel. But what should happen is Kevin Owens wins with the help of Sami Zayn. And we get those two.
Oh, no, not again. Not again.
I think that's how I would book it. After what I saw on SmackDown, that's how I would go. I would get those two back on the same page. But they're not going to do that. I think we get Ezekiel gets the win here. And knowing them, we might get a Elias image pop up on the big screen, and that distracts Kevin Owens a little bit.
This is like the NWO. Coming back in 2000 with them too. I'm like, oh God, no. I don't want to see them together anymore. I'm like, I can't. Okay. Next match will be Austin. I'm going to call him by his full name because this one name shit's annoying. Theory, Austin Theory versus Mustafa Ali for the United States Championship. What will happen? What should happen?
I think Austin wins in a very good, entertaining match. I think the
the king of Evolve is gonna has a bright future in the E. So I think he's gonna win. He's gonna hold on to the title for a while. What should happen? It should be some shenanigans, but I don't think they're gonna go that way. I think they're trying to bury Mustafa Ali. Anybody else? I can see something else happening, but I think they're trying to bury Ali, especially with him wanting to get out of his contract and all that. Expect a squash match here.
All right. Liv Morgan, Finn Balor, AJ Styles versus The Judgment Day, which is the dumbest name because it's the. Before we talk about this match, what are your thoughts on The Judgment Day?
I like it. I hate the name. They need another member, and I think that another other member happens Sunday, and I think it's who everyone speculates is going to be, Tommaso Ciampa.
See, I would like that. I like, although the rumor was before he got fired, Harlan or Parker Boudou, who was in NXT, Edge wanted him, and they just fired him without telling anybody. So that was the initial plan, get Harlan on. I think that will be good for Ciampa because he needs to do something. I feel like he's just going to be on Raw.
He needs to do something, yeah.
Floundering. All right. So,
and he'll be treated better than Butch. He'll be treated better than Butch.
Butch. don't get me started on Butch. So what will happen? What should happen?
I think Finn and them get the win. But what should happen is Edge and the crew win, and thanks for the help of Tommaso Ciampa, which could still be in play. But I don't know how many L's you want to start piling on AJ, because AJ hasn't won a match. Well, hasn't won a pay-per-view in, 3 months now?
Well, I feel like if anyone eats the pin, it's Finn Balor. I feel like they'll probably keep AJ away from the pin, I think. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that with this company. I'm just guessing now. We'll see. Versus Omos and MVP in a handicap match. What will happen and what should happen?
I think Omos gets the win here. There's no way I can see. Yeah, you cannot keep building this giant to be a buffoon. Let's not big show him just yet. But let me rephrase that. What probably will happen is Bobby Lashley is going to win. What should happen is Omos win. Make this what? I guess give him a win back because he lost at WrestleMania. He lost the little steel cage match they had a couple of weeks ago. But I really want this feud to be done with. And this is what sucks with Raw not having a real champion, because there's really no stakes for anybody. These are just feuds amongst feuds. But I think what should happen is Omos gets the win. Let's build them up correctly.
Yeah. I think almost would have benefited from staying in NXT or going to NXT, using NXT, because he just doesn't look comfortable. Obviously, he's young, still young in the business.
Mm-hmm.
He still doesn't look comfortable, and I think they're just leaning on the fact that he's big, and like, well, he's got size, so it's got to work. He's huge. Look at him; he's huge. But I feel like the crowd's not really reacting. Neither. No cheers, no boos. There's no reaction to him at all. Even with MVP there, everyone's like, "Eh, it's just another big dude." He's like Shanky on SmackDown. I'm like, okay, great, another big dude.
Oh,
awesome.
Gosh.
Like, what do we do with that? So I feel like they set him up. He might be on a chopping block for a release after WrestleMania next year. I'm starting to think that.
I can see that. Things don't get better. I can definitely see that.
Raw Women's Championship match, Bianca Belair, the champion, takes on Asuka and big-time Becky Lynch. What will happen? What should happen?
See, now I'm intrigued by this match because it's like, does Asuka take the pin here? I don't see it. Does Becky take a pin here? I don't see that either. So, therefore, do I think Bianca drops the belt? I'm not sure. I never liked her as a not chasing. You know what I mean? I like when she's chasing.
Mm-hmm.
I never liked her when she's holding the belt. And my prediction is Bianca's going to win. And I think she wins by shenanigans. And I think Becky catches a roll up, gets pinned on. And what I think is going to happen after the match, I think we get Bayley coming back.
Ooh. Is that what should happen, or what will happen?
I think that's what should happen. Bayley coming out should happen because you don't want to put her on SmackDown with Ronda, and I think her chasing Bianca, like where they left off at, it'd be perfect timing, and you know, this is how you cool off Becky for a little bit.
All right, and there's no tag team match announced yet officially, so I'm not talking about that yet because it's not even announced yet. Between Usos
you know
and Riddle.
You know it's going to be one more Hell in a Cell match, and it's going to be Usos versus Riddle and his new BFF for the moment, Nakamura.
Okay. Let's talk about it then. Usos, Riddle, and Nakamura. What will happen, whether it's Hell in a Cell or not, hopefully it's not, because I think this is a Hell in a Cell match. Orton have to be there for Hell in a Cell. What will happen? What should happen?
I think Usos win clean, and what should happen is Roman come out and start wrecking havoc, but that's probably not going to happen. So I'm going to go with Roman should happen. But if I have to substitute Roman, I think Randy comes out, RKO Nakamura. That's what should happen.
Ooh, okay. Or he gets mad and RKOs Nakamura.
That's like he RKOs everybody except for Riddle.
See, I can see that. I can see him real like, okay, whatever, bro.
Yep.
It's all you, bro. It's all you, homie. I'm assuming the main event, unless I'm wrong here. Unless he starts the show with it because they'll do something stupid. Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. This will happen in Hell in a Cell. What will happen? What should happen?
I'm stumped on this one because I can't. I mean, like, how much else are we gonna pile on Seth? He lost to WrestleMania. He lost that Backlash. I refuse to call it WrestleMania Backlash. And you're telling me he's gonna lose in a Hell in a Cell match to Cody, who's never, for what I remember in his career, never having a Hell in a Cell match, let alone a main event caliber match. Even though he's hot right now, I'm leaning towards Seth. I want Seth to win, but what should happen? It's probably Cody winning.
Yeah, I think they're trying to build.
As high as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Get his stock as high as possible. Let him be the odds-on favorite to win Money in the Bank. Because I think at this point, the only person you could probably think of throwing in Roman right now is goddamn it, Cody.
Well, I think that's what they're trying to do. I think I heard a comparison on a podcast, Solid Monster Podcast, how they did with Batista. And Batista just beat Triple H every month, 3 months in a row. To make kind of build Batista up to be this star, and he used Triple H to do it. I think they're using Seth to get Cody over as a star, like you said, to set him up for a Roman match for one of the belts, because they're going to split the belts again. It's just a matter of when, not if. My issue with Cody is this, and we talk about this a lot. It's not the right now I'm worried about. It's the six months from now. It's the year from now. Where is he in a year? Right? Is he going to be this big?
I think he's going to be he's going to be a little cooled off a little bit. But I think in a year, I think at next year's WrestleMania, he's in the main event. I definitely believe that. But to be fair, I kind of believe Vicky was going to be in the main event before that too, but then they put the belt on Big E in November and dropped it. No, they put, yeah, I think like November, October, they put the belt on Big E and he dropped it way before, he dropped it at Royal Rumble. So
yeah.
I can kind of see that too. But I don't see Cody being a traditional, you know, transitional champion. I feel like his moment has to be big, especially being Dusty's son, and Dusty never got the belt. So it has to be big. And the only place I can see that happening is at Mania. So if he won the Money in the Bank, I wouldn't expect him to cash it until, like, Mania. Like, he'll probably be like, hey, listen, I'm holding this contract until WrestleMania. Kind of like with The Rock and Cena kind of made that match official way before. I could see that playing out with Cody. But once he wins the belt, it could be Big E treatment. It could be like, you know, the moment's over. Let's squash him.
Yeah, and I think this is where it goes back to what you said before about MJF and Cody being cool and people seeing Cody like, oh, Cody gets like 8 minutes of pyro and the crowd loves him and he's able to call people wrestlers and not get in trouble and shit. Like, I feel like people look at that and think that's going to be them. So if Jungle Boy try to go to WWE, he's going to assume, oh, I'm going to get the same treatment. No, you're not. You're going to be a main event in 2 months.
You're not Dusty's son, and you're not Dusty's son.
What a built-in storyline, because I feel he came in with that storyline. Like they're like, your father has a belt, blah, blah, blah. He probably said, yeah, I have this idea, and Vince is like, love it, done. So Cody kind of came in.
Because I don't know if you remember what Cody was like. You know, they thought they was going to try to sell him on gold, on the Stardust and all that stuff again. And Vince was like, nah, what you got going on? We're not trying to, you know, we all let it be. So.
I'm so shocked they let him come in like that.
I mean, only because of what he built himself up. And let's be honest, it's only because he was the founding father of, you know, one of the original crews of AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Had this been like no AEW and it was like just we're going off of, we're on New Japan, it might have been Stardust again. We might have got Stardust 2.0.
People are like, God damn it. God damn Stardust. So that's Hell in a Cell, the premium live event that's on this
God,
coming
I
Sunday.
I
get it's not a pay-per-view technically because of, you know, they have the network or Peacock, whatever. But premium live. When they have a name like that, they just drill it into the ground. You hear Vincent say premium live event, damn it. And then, okay. And you say, I'm like, I hate this company. In other news about this company, Money in the Bank, which was set to be at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, the Raiders Stadium, was downgraded to MGM Grand Garden Arena. So they go from 60,000 seats to 12,000 seats. Problem? 17,000 tickets were sold for Legion. They got to figure out, oh, shit, we have 17,000 people. We only can fit 12,000. 5,000 of you are getting screwed on tickets. Was this too big of a task for a pay-per-view like Money in the Bank?
It's terrible. Well, Money in the Bank should never have been in a football stadium. That's the problem right there. And if you're going to do that, and then you have SummerSlam a few weeks later, you know, you're asking several fan bases to put in a lot of, you know, money into it. I don't see, and then the roster's not even that great right now. So, like, yeah, I wouldn't personally spend my money to go to Allegiant Stadium to see a Money in the Bank where if the bigger show, per se, is next month at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'm just going to figure out the logic behind, I know Nick Khan, the new whatever president, whatever his job title is, he wants to do more stadium shows to get more fans. You can only get 17,000-18,000 in like an arena. Even if they don't sell out a stadium, they can get 30. They got 17 mm-hmm. in Vegas, and apparently they're already doing like buy three, get one free deals. So the ticket sales just kind of stop. So the logic of let's put WrestleMania Backlash at MetLife Stadium. It's like, why would you do that? What's the point? No one cares about those pay-per-views. I get the SummerSlam, right. I get the Manias. I think those are only really two shows that warrant a stadium show. Other than that,
Royal Rumble too. I'll put Royal Rumble.
Oh yeah, I forget Royal Rumble. So you have three shows, right? You have three shows that definitely are like stadium shows. The other nine you have are just like throw-ins. So I don't understand that.
Well, to be fair, I do like Money in the Bank. It's been a very good pay-per-view consistently. And to me, it's replaced Survivor Series as the fourth maybe possible, premier events they have. But the problem with that is you can't have stadium shows back-to-back. You can't have WrestleMania in April and then – you have Money in the Bank in June, and then you have Survivor Series. I mean, SummerSlam in August. It doesn't work like that.
Well, yeah, because you have SummerSlam should be there. They have the show in – is that Scotland the show's happening in?
I forgot what it's called. Something – Storm the Castle.
It's Craven Cottage. Not Craven Cottage. That's full of
– Yeah.
some big stadium in Europe. They have Annette, yeah. and then SummerSlam in the Titan Stadium in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what are you doing? Like, I get the logic, but obviously the logic fell through because you had to move to a small arena on the weekend of a UFC event. So you're doing that pay-per-view the same night as the UFC event in Vegas.
That's why they couldn't get T-Mobile.
And during International Fight Week that week too. And Tony Khan talked a little shit. Said that was a smart idea. Because WWE thought, oh, we can overtake UFC that weekend. No, you can't. Not International Fight Week, you can't. That ain't happening.
So now when you're Universal Champion is on a part-time schedule, where the rumor is he's not fighting again until SummerSlam.
So they screwed themselves on that one. In other news too, surprising news: Stephanie McMahon announced that she was taking a leave of absence from the company. There was no reason given. The rumor going around on the dirt sheets is that her ability to do her job was being questioned. Not sure what that means. That's the rumor. Is this just another brick in the wall falling out before WWE gets sold? I feel like we're leaning towards that situation.
I feel like not only that, but I feel like the kids are like on the outside looking in right now. And I think Tony Khan has positioned himself to be Vince's number one. Not Tony Khan. What's his first name?
Nick Khan.
Yeah. So I feel like Nick Khan has positioned himself to be, you know, Vince's new number one. He's the one who coined the phrase, you know, these premium live events, and he's changed a lot of stuff that the WWE does behind the scenes. So I think he's in Vince's ear, and he's, you know, letting it be known, hey, I don't think the kids are ready to run this company. You might as well, you know, if you want to sell it, cash out, whatever the case would be. But I think leaving him behind is a bad idea, which I think is not true. I think Steph knows what she's doing. But we see what happened with Triple H and NXT. We see what's going on with Steph taking some time off. Shane Benson is writing on the wall. He got up out of there. So, yeah, I think that's what we're leaning. I think we're definitely leaning towards being sold. But to who, though?
I think that's the question. I think Disney was kicking tires a while ago. You know, mm-hmm. you have NBC Universal, they're already on Peacock. They might want to get it. You know, Fox. I feel like there's different options. I think for what they probably are going to want, they may not get that. Because I feel like if you look at the value of the company, how much is the company really worth? Because they're really making their money on TV deals. Their live events aren't great. The arenas they have their shows in aren't like the Garden or like T-Mobile or like Staples. They're having their shows in like smaller southeastern places. So that's going to affect your ticket sales. Ratings are shitty. Stuff like they know they're making their money on TV, so they're going to just worry about making their money on TV, and who cares about putting out great storylines and all other stuff. So what value would you put on this company right now knowing that all the money you're making is off TV and when you go to Saudi Arabia and get that blood money?
I'm going to put $3.5 billion. That's how much I think they're worth. I think the content, WrestleMania is as big as the Super Bowl now. You could do a lot of things, you know, these networks will do a lot of things around that. I think someone like Universal, NBC, Peacock, I think it'd be ideal. Keep the network there. Continue to build the content. Hell, bring back Saturday main event. Do it properly. I think, you know, end the brand split. Maybe up the antes in terms of like, you know, PG-13-ish. And I think you'll have a good product.
All right, so you said $3.5 billion. Okay.
Because if you think about it, they got $1 billion from Fox and $1 billion from NBC. So I figure if someone wants to get the whole package, you got to up it a little bit. And I think 3.5 is the magic number. I think that's what Vince is looking for.
What do you think their current market value is?
How much did UFC? How much did UFC get sold for?
UFC was $2 billion and some change.
So yeah, I definitely give the E 3.5.
All right, so you said 3.5. What do you think their current valuation is right now? How much is this company worth?
Right now, a little, maybe a bill. I'll say maybe a little over a bill.
No.
Higher?
Yep.
They worth five?
Lower.
Four?
4.53 billion.
Shit. How?
Yeah.
I mean, Saudi money.
That's what the stock price right now, it ended the day $67 a share, down to 65 after hours.
Really? Is that high?
Yeah.
Because the last time I was looking at that stock, it was like hovering around 40, mediocre. It was like hovering around 40 all year. Wow, I didn't realize it was that high now.
Yeah, it's the stock price, plus it's a consistent stock because they're getting the TV money, they're getting the Saudi money.
Yeah.
So this money is just kind of flowing in, and no one's looking at the product. Everyone's just looking at, oh, they had the best quarter of the company's career. So $4.5 billion. So they might go and ask for five or six.
Yeah.
It's not that they're worth that much money, considering that the product is such shit. It's unfathomable that they're worth this much money. The other thing we'll talk about before fast, we got 7 minutes left. Ric Flair wrestling his quote unquote final match on July 31st. I know we're a month and a half away. When you heard that Flair is going to wrestle one more time, what was the first thing that went through your head?
Two things went through my head. One, God, I wish it was Sting he's fighting. And two, Flair is going to have to die in the ring before we ever stop seeing the end of Flair.
Yeah, I don't think this is it. Well, someone, what this podcast was like, he said he would die in a ring. He either die in a ring or die with a woman on top of him. And the podcast host said they should try to see if Tessa Blanchard's available because she has nothing better to do, and he might get his wish on both counts.
Oh, my God. Where is she?
She was in WoW. That's rebooted. Jeannie Buss is running WoW, and it's going to be on, like, CBS, like, late night, Saturday nights in the fall. And Tessa's going to be, like, the big name. And apparently she pissed off a bunch of people and, like, got fired already. It didn't even premiere yet. So she's unemployed again. But yeah, this is happening at the StarCast event. Kyron Thompson, the pod godfather who has like 18 podcasts, he's putting it on in Nashville the weekend of SummerSlam, so he's wrestling. The match isn't set yet. The rumor was Flair and I think FTR versus, I think, Rock and Roll Express and Ricky Steamboat. Ricky Steamboat said, no, I'm not doing a match. Steamboat said he wrestled Jericho years ago, looked really good. He's like, that was it. That's what only people see me at. That was like my last match. I looked good. That's it. I don't want to look like a piece of shit in the ring. Unlike Ric Flair, who's like, I'm going to work out with Jay Lethal and see if I still got it. So we'll see how this works out for him. It never ceases to amaze me how he just can't let it go. Can't go sit down. And, like, he had good
WWE
woman.
WWE gave him the best farewell.
Mm-hmm. They did. I can't think of it. Like, Shawn Michaels was all right. Shawn Michaels was cool. It wasn't great. It was all right. Ric Flair got the best send-off in sports.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's like, I'm going to wrestle some more. And then he, like, divorced his wife who, like, nursed him back to health. And he's out here, like, a bunch of young chicks. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? Like, go sit your ass down.
Man, I'll tell you.
God bless him.
Outlive us all.
God bless him. He's 73. I want to be Ric Flair on 73, but he's going to drop dead. Jason, great first show, bro. Feels good to be doing this, man. I'm digging this. So
likewise, definitely same here, man. We finally have an outlet to talk wrestling. This is beautiful, man.
Not for 4 minutes after 56 minutes of basketball talk. And our basketball listeners would appreciate this now. They get a full hour of basketball. So we're going to figure out the schedule. We don't know if this is going to be every week, every 2 weeks. We're going to figure this out. But this is the first episode. This is the One Podcast Network. We got wrestling. We got comedy. We have our basketball show, the audio version that we do on YouTube. We bring it here. We have the Moody Irish Guys podcast. We're going to have other things. So this is the place to go for anything and everything you want to listen to and learn about. So keep it here. Blog Talk Radio, the YouTube Just Hoop channel. Check out our Twitters. I'm Khalil N. Thomas. Jason's Busy J. We're on Twitter. Check us out. For Jason Corder, I'm Khalil Thomas. Tri-State Heat, we're out. Peace.
Peace.